www.sportsradio1050.com. Welcome back to the program, 5:39 in the a.m. How about, and this is just going to sound like craziness, how about we talk a little sports?
Okay.
You up for it?
Sure.
You willing?
Yeah, absolutely.
You ready? Okay. So I am watching a film clip from, let's see here, it's from Major League Baseball.
The Yankee game, Red Sox game last night?
Yes.
I watched it live as it happened. It was incredible. Michael Pineda, as Bugs Bunny once said, what a maroon.
Michael Pineda, if you don't know, is a black man, and he is pitching for the New York Yankees.
Yes.
And they're playing Boston, right?
Yes.
All right, at one point, the Boston coach walks out to the home plate umpire.
You have to have the backstory for this.
Oh, okay.
There's a backstory.
All right, go ahead.
Last week, Michael Pineda had some gunk on his hand.
Uh-huh.
And he was questioned about it. He claimed it was dirt. Uh-huh. And nobody said anything until the next inning he wiped it off and it was gone. It magically uh-huh. disappeared.
Well, dirt wipes
right.
off.
And once it was gone, his pitching got worse. All right. So last night
he's
on the
pitching.
Mound at Fenway Park. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's windy.
Right.
First inning, he's having trouble throwing his curveball. He's getting knocked around the ballpark.
Yeah.
Second inning, he comes out, and all of a sudden, this magical stripe of something appears on his neck.
Well, now, again, he is a black man.
Yes, but...
And there's a black smudge
on
the right side of his neck.
So it is believed that he is hiding pine tar or
Absolutely.
Some illegal
substance. He wasn't hiding it.
It was
in plain sight for anybody to see.
It's on his neck, just below his ear.
The TV people called attention to it immediately, and they had side-by-side pictures of inning number one and inning number two,
yeah.
a shot of his neck. And all of a sudden, this stripe appeared.
The smudge, the schmutz of pine tar. So the Boston coach comes out, and you see him just kind of stroll out to the ump, and he's talking, and you can read his lips, and he goes, pine tar.
The announcers have been talking about it for 10 or 15 minutes
yeah.
before John Farrell went out,
and so,
the umpire.
And so the ump approaches the mound.
The ump, by the way, is an Appleton, Wisconsin native.
Is he?
Jerry
okay.
Davis, longtime National League umpire.
So,
American League umpire.
And it's really funny. I don't have the audio up, and that's fine. And he's inspecting him, and he's looking at him, and he checks his hands, and he checks his back. And then he reaches up and just puts his finger on the smudge that's on his neck. He goes, out. You're out.
Threw him out of the game immediately.
Threw him out of the game. He just looked at it. It's tacky. He goes, get out. Get out of here.
The interesting reaction is from the former players in the booth. Rick Sutcliffe and Aaron Boone were the two color guys in the booth doing the game.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, I wouldn't have as big a problem with this if he wasn't so blatant about it. Because apparently pitchers do this all the time. On a cold, windy day, they hide pine tar or something sticky on their body somewhere to get a better grip on the ball. And the other team sort of looked the other way, as long as it's not as blatant as this.
Well,
this
you know, he
was
thinking.
So obvious that Boston had to say something.
He was thinking he was being clever. I am a black man. I've got black tar on my skin. Nobody will notice. It's like, I'm sorry, dude. Yes, they did.
You just can't imagine that the Yankees, the other players in the dugout, or the coaches allowed him to go out like that.
It's just funny.
Now, baseball's got a long, colorful history of cheaters. I mean, Phil Niekro and Gaylord Perry, later in their career, admitted to
pitballs,
grease balls,
whatever. Sure, you've had people, Whitey Ford, threw the belt buckle ball. He would have the catcher rub the ball on his shin guard belt buckle as he threw it back to him, and it gouged it all up to make the ball dance.
Okay.
Now, by the way, other players who were admitted cheaters probably embellished their cheating stories because that would get inside a batter's head. There was an advantage to that, too.
Sure.
Sure, I hide the Vaseline on the bill of my cap or just inside the pants pocket of my uniform.
There's a classic story. Don Sutton, former Brewer, who was known to maybe doctor a baseball once in a while.
Yeah.
Somebody, the other team called him on it. The umps went out to inspect it. He had a note written in his glove that said, "You're getting warm, but it's not here." He immediately got tossed, too. But, I mean, Pineda is just clueless. He's going to be suspended for 10 games. I think that's the minimum suspension.
He walks off the field like, well, I don't understand why are you guys picking on me?
Oh, it was classic.
Who was the famous catcher for Cincinnati?
Johnny Bench.
I had the opportunity to meet Johnny Bench. And before I met him, I read about him because I knew nothing about Johnny Bench.
Uh-huh.
And I
now
knew,
you know him for doing paint commercials, right?
No.
Krylon,
he was,
no runs, no,
no
trips, no
he
errors.
Was actually in town pitching a surgical procedure for a new hip replacement. He was the pitch man for the new
hips.
He
had the new hip replacement.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And he said, oh, it's great. I can do all kinds of things. You know? I'm like, okay, great. So I'm interviewing him about this, and I read some about him because I didn't want to insult this man by going, so what'd you do? You know, I know you're famous. Why? And I read a story that when he was early in his career, one of the things that he did is somebody threw a fastball at him, and he caught it barehanded.
They never did it again, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was giving the pitcher a bunch of grief about, yeah, you know, your fastball's not all that, blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, well, I can, you know, if you don't stop running your mouth, I'm going to break your hand. He goes, yeah, go ahead. Well, the pitcher threw it as hard as he could, and he pulled his hand out of the glove and caught it barehanded and didn't even flinch. And this is what I read, and I thought, well, that's a load of crap. So I asked him about it. He goes, yeah, it's embellished a little bit. He said, but yeah, I did do it. He said, it hurt like hell, but I wasn't about to make a – he says, I didn't flinch. I didn't do anything. He says, but it stung really bad, but I wasn't about to let anybody know. I said, so it really happened? He goes, yeah, it absolutely happened. That was pretty cool.
Well, check out the video of Michael Pineda. You'll really enjoy it. Also, one other note before you move on. The Packers schedule, of course, came out yesterday. And after a number of years of not making the trip, they're going to Florida twice this year, including Tampa.
They're going to play Tampa Bay?
December 21st. How about Christmas in Tampa? Does that sound like a good idea?
Where are my vacation schedule requests?
For fans who like to travel. Because a Packers road game is a special experience, too. Packers have a couple of warm weather games. They're playing in Miami this year.
Right.
They're playing in Tampa in December.
They're in New Orleans, too, I think.
Yes, and they've got a game against the Saints in New Orleans at the end of October. And New Orleans is a great party town to go and visit.
Yeah.
And if you want the road game where tickets will be easiest to get, there's a late December game against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. And the Bills usually do not sell out.
And that's an open stadium though, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be an easy ticket to get.
It's an open stadium about half a mile from Lake Erie.
Listen, Tampa Bay Stadium, it is a beautiful stadium. They got good food there. It's open air, and I guarantee you,
Packer fans when Tampa used, when they used to be in the same division, Packer fans used to make annual treks down to Tampa and have a great time.
That's a nice game to go to.
Also,
the weather's going to be really
also
nice.
The Viking schedule came out. They're of course playing their home games this year at the college outdoor stadium because the Metrodome is being rebuilt or replaced. They've got two December home games in Minneapolis this year outside. So Viking fans will get a taste of outdoor football in December this year.
And the Vikings, you know, those are the kinds of games too. Well, the weather is bad, and if the Vikings are not good, the Vikings have had trouble selling out their seats before.
Yeah.
And, smaller stadium this year, though. They shouldn't have a problem.
Minnesota has had TV blackout concerns with the NFL's rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there might be Vikings fans who are driving cross-border to Wisconsin to actually be able to see their team play.
I'm seriously thinking about doing the December game in Florida. That I might like that. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We will be right back.
I don't know, ladies. I can be somewhat of a bad boy. Yeah, just call me Chamomile Thunder. Like, I own a hummingbird feeder. If you guys don't think that a hummingbird feeder is a great time on a Sunday afternoon, you have never filled one of those things with NyQuil. That's a great time right there. They fly it up. Nectar. Nighty night, birdie. See you in 12 hours. That hangover is gonna suck. I'm gonna wear you as a little brooch.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine waking up from that hangover and be like, who the hell's that guy? Did we hook up? Smells like mojitos.
A full dose of the day's events.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
I find that very disturbing.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.